So good morning, everyone. Good morning. So I've been asked this morning to share in regards to the ladies' camp that we had last week, which was just absolutely amazing. You know, the Lord moved so powerfully. He gave us a word of refreshment and encouragement. He specifically said no activities, to some's dismay. So you learn you have to be obedient to that. So, as Pastor Paul shared with me last week, with obedience comes blessings, with disobedience comes curse, and we want it to be blessing. So, you know, coming together around a kingdom community. In the New Testament, what is it that the church is doing in the book of Acts? So there are four things happening: fellowship, devotion, generosity, and the miraculous. Now, Pastor Paul shared that if we can't have a fellowship, we can't have a fellowship if we're not... Let me start again. Excuse my nerves. Pastor Ball shared that we can't have a fellowship if we don't meet for the same purpose. How we must be united and be on the same page if we're going to move forward in the things of God. You know, coming together in the kingdom community is as simple as having one thing in common, and that is knowing that we have a heart for our Heavenly Father, that we have a deep love for Jesus and a relationship that continues to grow and flourish. Like I said, the ladies' retreat was absolutely amazing. I think it blew us all away at just how good and powerful God is. And if you obey what he's asking you to do, he can move so fiercely through us all. So we managed to journey together and witness fellowship, devotion, generosity, and the miraculous. Now let's begin with fellowship. And we have Lucy and Cherie who are going to share a small part of their testimonies. So Cherie, would you like to come forward? Is Lucy here? Hi, come. Okay.
Well, I wasn't one for ladies' camps. I was one, it's family and that's it. And 2 years ago, I went on the ladies' camp for the first time and I loved it. We went to Busselton and it was just terrific. So when this one came up, I thought, right, I'm going. Then I saw the program. Oh dear. Only one afternoon when Tracy was coming to talk to us. And I said, oh my goodness, if I'd known this, I would never have signed up. This is going to be so disorganized because there's no program. I mean, one afternoon, what are we going to do for the whole weekend? Well, I went and I loved it. It was really, really good. And I believe God met us there. I really did. I grew to know the ladies. I mean, it was just a wonderful sense of fellowship in the whole place. We were all under one roof, which was really nice because we were in one house type of thing, and the kitchen was the center, and it didn't matter what time, there was always somebody to talk to, or, you know, it was just an incredible time of fellowship. And when Tracy came on Saturday afternoon to talk to give us a word, she shared a word, and then she prophesied over each one of us. Nobody was left out. Not one person was left out. And it was like when you were being spoken to, you were the only one there. And everybody, we were all interested in one another, you know what I mean? Because a lot of us, we knew a little bit about that person, but we learned a lot more. And it was just an incredible afternoon. And I think Tracy was there until about 20 past six, eh?
6 hours she did. Yeah.
It was incredible. And, you know, there was two girls, young girls that came from... OCP Bunbury, and they only came for the day, but they just loved the atmosphere there, and they just loved the atmosphere, and they stayed over Saturday night just because they said it was just so warm and so wonderful. And I just want to thank God and you know, give all praise to him, because I feel that as a fellowship he joined us. he really joined us, and I think we've got a wonderful core of ladies in our church. And I just want to thank Haley for her obedience to the Lord.
And now we have the lovely Lucy. So I was on the phone to Lucy just shortly after ladies, and she said about three sentences, and I went, oh, can you say that on Sunday, please? And you've forgotten a little bit.
But I'm not going to cry today, everyone, so thanks. So, yeah, ladies was amazing. We had such a great time. I got to know some ladies that I see in church but never actually speak to, not from not wanting to, but just don't get the opportunity. And I made some amazing friends, older, younger, connected with people on such a different level than I thought I could. Check. No. So it was amazing, especially the part where Tracy prophesied over all of us. So, like I said, we don't all know each other very intimately, but I feel I'm proud of all of us, each and every one of us, the fact that we sat there and we were, it sounds funny, but if you were like standing there pretty much butt naked is how you felt a little bit, everybody's watching. So she prophesied over stuff that was so personal to each and every one of us, but everyone was so supportive. You know, when she prayed for us, we fell. We literally fell, and I'm telling you, there was someone there to catch us. All of us, they caught us. It didn't matter. It was just out-of-body experience. When you fell, you weren't even thinking, oh my gosh, like for me, I usually think, oh God, who's going to catch me, poor people. But it wasn't even like that. You were just so comfortable knowing that someone that loved you was behind you, and it could have been someone you've never spoken to or anything. I connected so well with CJ. I kept using CJ as an example, but I've never actually spoken to CJ really, and I absolutely loved chatting with her. She has so much knowledge about life, about God, and I don't know, she really touched my heart, and I really enjoyed speaking to her. Tanette, not really spoken a lot to her, however, you know, she's a lot younger than me, but still, there was nothing about age there whatsoever. We were all just a bunch of ladies having a great time. We connected, we talked, we cried, we laughed, and it was just so amazing. So if anybody gets the opportunity to go to ladies, you know, sometimes finance is a bit of an issue, but I'm telling you, it was worth every dollar to the cent of going there. And my beautiful friend Haley nailed it. She was just the biggest heart.
All glory to God, weren't they?
She's such a big heart, and you know, for how she organised it, and how, you know, like Cherie said, there was no program, but it just, for us, it felt like there was a program. Everything just flowed, you know, from what we did. I mean, we ate a lot of food. I think everyone can admit we probably all put on about 10 kilos. You weren't even hungry, but it was just there. We just kept going. So it was in terms of connecting, and I know the 110% that this is the place for me. There's a church family, like, you know, I feel like you guys are more my family than my actual family. That's how much we all connected with each other. I love you guys, and yeah, it was just amazing. So thank you so much.
Well, that was longer than three sentences, but it was well worth it. Thank you. Do you know, over the course of the weekend, we truly understood what it was to be family. Just like Lucy said, we're not just doing family, we were being family. Now, the next testimonies that we're going to listen to are on the miraculous. And oh my goodness, he really did do some miracles over the weekend. So the meaning of miracles is a divine intervention, something unexpected and wonderful. And he certainly did those things. Do you know, Pearl was freed from witchcraft. Over the years, Pearl had, in her own strength and actions, purposefully distanced herself from her Hindu family who practice Hinduism. Now, after doing a little research on Hinduism, there are multiple spirits. In fact, there are 5 million gods, false gods that are all demonic, and will try to drag you down until you are freed. So we are so thankful to our Heavenly Father for for his love and protection over Pearl and having favour over her so she can share her testimony. Thank you, Pearl.
Oh, yeah. I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior. I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All glory to God. When Tracy was, I was in awe the whole afternoon. I couldn't stop looking and listening to what Tracy prophesied over each and every woman. And I waited until the last because I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me throughout the day. And I went up. I looked straight into Tracy's eyes, into the depth of her eyes. She prophesied over me and she told me the gifts that God has blessed me with, which is hospitality, which I love, and being kind to people. Then, and I received all of those blessings. She also continued telling me what a beautiful woman I am. And I never ever wanted to say thank you to people if people say to me, oh, you're so pretty, you look lovely today. I used to cringe. Because before what I went through, because be pretty, I wasn't appreciated by that person. And I could not receive anybody up till, I think, this year. When someone says to me, Paul, you're looking so lovely today, I used to cringe and not wanting to say thank you. So that was the first release that Tracy spoke of to me when I received this from Christ, when she said to me, you are the most beautiful, and I felt good. I didn't cringe. And I kept on looking into her eyes, and she carried on, and she spoke to me, and she was carrying on and on and on. And I, while she was prophesying, I was receiving it and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. And then she spoke, and she talked about my food, and she said to me, these curries. I'm coming to your house. I'm going to eat curries. I said, where is she coming from, this woman talking about curries? She doesn't know me. Then she looked at me and she said, I can sense a strong smell of incense. And while she was talking to me, I was praising God and exalting him. But when she said that, and I was about to say hallelujah, but something was pressing that hallelujah down in another voice. And then I couldn't remember what happened after that. I can't remember what happened after that. But when I woke up, when I woke up and I saw all these prayer warriors around me, thank you, ladies, praying over me and denouncing the Hindu spirit. I felt so lame and there was no strength in my body, but I don't know who held me up, but I was just being held up. And then Pastor Trish asked me to say a prayer denouncing all the demons and the spirits that was in me. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, your will be done. It wasn't my will, but your will was done that day. I felt chains were broken. The first chain that was broken was God telling me what a beautiful woman I am, not in my facial or whatever it is, but what's coming out of my heart, and I thank God for that. While we were supposed to watch a movie, but I was feeling so clean and so nice, and I went to the movie night with the girls, but halfway through I went to the room, and my dear friend Fiona was in the room, and we started chatting, and I had this just the strength there, because I think everybody said we ate, and I don't eat custard, I don't eat cakes or sweets, but I ate all of those things. I was just enjoying everything that was put before me. And I had an overload of energy, yes. And then I said to Fiona, I feel so nice. My arms feel so nice. My wrists feel so nice. And my fingers feel so nice. And I was like looking and I was touching. I couldn't stop touching my hands and my arms. And these, Shamari, what is this finger? Index finger. My index finger and my thumb was always like this, always like stiff, both of them. And I said to Fiona, man, my hands are feeling so nice. And I couldn't sleep because I was just, you know, I was so in awe of what was actually happening to my body because God has been healing me all these years. And when I did this with both my hands, my fingers are straight, both of them. Is straight, and Fiona can vouch for me. I went to go and buy some karma oil the last time, and I even shared with her just to put on our fingers to release, to put magnesium into our fingers. But hey, it's not magnesium, it's Jesus' blood. And then, like I said, I couldn't. And I was talking to God and having conversation. I said, Lord Jesus Christ, you are an awesome God. And then I started singing the song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I sang that throughout. I wasn't sleeping, but I was just singing and singing. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then this vision just came across and said, writing, woman, you are loose. And that was God giving me the vision to say, Pearl, you have been released now. And then I remember the Bible my sister gave me about 4 or 5 years ago. It was worn out, and it was her Bible that she sent through to South Australia to me. And in there, it's pink, and it says, woman, you are loose. I've been looking for that Bible. I can't find it, but I will find it. And I said, I'd just like to thank you, Jesus, for your continuous healing, your mercy, grace, and faithfulness. Thank you for listening.
Wow, hey, that's a miracle. Do you know, he loves us so much that he will put us in places even if we don't feel comfortable to go. And he will push us through because he just wants the very best for us. And she's giggling over there, but this is when it comes to Denise. So if you'd like to come forward, please. So as Denise is coming forward, I'll just give you just a little bit of a background story so you understand her testimony that she's coming up to very bravely share with us. Thank you. So Denise was freed from Freemasonry. Do you know, something she had no idea about. In fact, after the time that she had with Tracy, she was really unsettled. And I went to her and I said, what's the matter? And she said, I feel like a fraud. She said, I'm going to get emotional. She said, I'm a Christian and I've got faith, but I had no idea. And I said, but God loves you so much that he wants to renew you. She had no idea about the Freemasonry generational curse that was upon her, but the Lord did know. So like Pearl and Denise and so, so many others, the Lord just wants what's best for us. He wants to release spiritual bondage within us so we're not hindered and we can give all ourselves over to him. So here is Denise.
Morning, everyone. Well, last week I had the privilege of going to the ladies' camp. And whilst on camp, I had a word from Tracy. Those of you that know me know that this is something that I just don't feel comfortable doing and don't do. Anyway, I kept hearing this voice in my head telling me to go up. After leaving it right until near the end and after moving closer to two, which is also not me, I'm normally going back the other way, and with some encouragement from Michelle, I finally went up. Well, as you've heard, the word I got, you could have knocked me down with a feather. It was totally unexpected and completely floored me, to say the least. After calming down slightly, I received prayer from a few of the ladies. I don't know who they were, but thank you. And after that, Tracy prayed for me again. I was then advised to seek additional prayer from Karen and Sandy. Thank you, ladies. At a time that was suitable to me. And I'm pleased to say that I received that prayer on Monday. If I hadn't have been obedient to God and gone up for prayer or a word, I wouldn't have had that word and it wouldn't have been dealt with. And unbeknown to me, I would have still been walking around with that burden on my shoulders. I'm so relieved that I did eventually pluck up the courage and, more importantly, listen to God to go up and receive that word. Thank you.
Well done. Do you know, I've said it a few times, but I've been walking alongside Denise for quite a long time now. And it just blows me away at her journey, because she does like to sit at the back. The music is sometimes too loud. But she's so open, and that is what really gets me, is she is so open to wanting to know the Lord more, for him to be doing a works in her. And I've just, well done, really proud of you, if I can say that. So, and now we have the beautiful Beck Jeremiah. Do you know, Beck's going to share something that's really intimate for her. She was released for something that she's been carrying for 11 long years. So as I was praying this morning, the Lord just stopped me when I got to Beck, just to know that you've got the strength, you've got the encouragement, and he's just released you to give you joy, and you can share that. So,
thanks, Amy. Hi, church. We went to camp, and I kind of went with my agenda of what I was hoping God would speak to me about, but God had other plans. So just a bit of background. I was 18 at the time. I was 18 at the time my dad passed away of a heart attack. And the night he passed away, when I sat down to write this testimony, I didn't realise how difficult it was to actually put it down. But it was actually a really traumatic night for me, because I actually witnessed him pass away. I was called to his house. My brother rung me and said, "Dad is not well. I need you to come down." So we raced down there, and we got there, and Dad was awake but unresponsive, and I knew that it wasn't looking good. And then he fell unconscious, and the paramedics arrived, and just having to watch the paramedics do CPR on him was really, really traumatic. And once we got to the hospital, the doctor then came and told us that he'd passed, and there was nothing that they could do. And since my dad's been gone 11 years, I've had waves of grief, but I don't actually think I've actually dealt with it all the day that he passed. I just kind of buried it. A week before I went on camp, it was my dad's birthday, and in some alone time, I got out some old photos to look back on. And in that moment, I cried out to God, just asking him why, and just letting him know how much I actually miss my dad. Oh, thank you. And once I finished having my cry, I just went about life, and next thing we're on ladies' camp, and Tracy shared about moving the mountains that hold us back. Tracy was ministering to me and shared how the Lord was wanting to let my dad's death go. Not my dad, not letting my dad go, but just the death part of that go. And how his death was my mountain in my life. She shared how the Lord said I needed to stop celebrating the day he passed. We wouldn't celebrate it, but we would sort of have a memorial and, I don't know, just acknowledging him on that day. And it became a bit of a tradition. And so the Lord spoke to her about rather than doing this on the day he passed, but to celebrate his life. And on my dad's birthday, Malachi said, oh, Mum, are we going to sing happy birthday? And I was just like, no, that's just weird. Like, I can't do that. And then he was like, no, we will sing happy birthday to Granddad and we'll light a candle. And I said, oh, I can't. It was just a bit odd for me. But anyway, we did it. And they blew out the candles and that. But it was just really difficult for me to celebrate his life or his birthday. The Lord also spoke to her about how I carried the burden of him not walking me down the aisle, and what a beautiful man that my dad was. It was such an intimate moment. It really felt like I was actually holding hands with the Lord and he was talking to me. Then Tracy started to speak about how God sometimes calls his people home early. And I started to think that while she was talking, I had wondered, because even though I was quite new in my faith before my dad passed away, I'd only been saved for 2 months prior to his death, so it was a very hard time for me to comprehend. But I spoke to my dad a couple of times about, you know, Jesus, and I brought him a Bible, but I never actually wondered if, you know, Dad had given his life. One day he was speaking to me, and he was quite heavy burdened about, I can't remember what it was, but I just remember saying to him, Dad, you need Jesus? And he said, yeah, I do, but I kind of left it at that because I was only quite new in my faith. I didn't know what to do. So when she was talking, she said that within minutes of my dad passed away, he called out to God and that he was with him. And I can't explain what a freedom I feel now knowing that. And getting this word from the Lord was such a surreal experience. It now feels like I have shifted something in my relationship with God. Giving him this mountain is still, I feel, a work in progress, but it's something that I'm working with God. But the peace that I have now from acknowledging God is capable of setting me free from these burdens and choosing to give it to God instead of trying to carry it myself. It's just, I'm just in such awe and admiration for him, just because he truly sees the deepest depths of our heart, and he just truly sees the deepest. When we try and bury stuff, God can see that, and he just really wants to bring freedom to us and release us from from what holds us back, I guess, from the mountains. So.
You know, and it just goes to show, because Beck
said to me this morning, she came to me and she was crying. She's like, I feel like I can't do it. And that's when I shared what the Lord had, because he knew before that you would have that fear, and that he said, no, I'm with you, and you've got the confidence, and he's right there, and the strength to do it. So thank you. Thank you. So now, last but not least, we have the beautiful Athena. Do you know, we go through the four different things that are in Acts 42 to 47, and I've just realised I forgot to read it out at the beginning of it, so sorry. I can go back to it. But do you know, Afi is my neighbour. And I used to fold my washing on my bed before I had my laundry room, and I used to look out over into the house that we knew the gentleman that used to give us the keys and said, feel free to use your pool. And I used to look into that house and I used to go, Lord, could you please put someone in there that is going to have a heart for you, and that we can have, I suppose, godly neighbours, if you like to put it that way, that we can journey with and do life with. And lo and behold, Athena and Peter and their lovely children moved in. So this lady really has devoted herself this past year to trusting God and the path that he has her on. My goodness. We've had many cups of teas, many let's pray. But like I say, and I keep saying it, he blows me away at just how big he is and how he really touches your heart and gets right in there and doesn't leave anything. He deals with it all. So she's been so obedient, and like I said earlier, with obedience comes blessings. And she is going to come and share her word from the ladies.
So I'm another person that actually didn't want to go to ladies. And how I ended up there is beyond me. And actually, I think that was partly to do with my husband, who sometimes I actually do wonder, does he want to be at church? Yeah, there he was with the money going, you're going to ladies. So thank you, Lord, and thank you, Pete. You know what? I didn't actually prepare for this. Since Hayley asked me, I went, shall I put something down on paper? I'm just not feeling it right now. You know what? I'm going to pray, and I'm sure the Lord will guide me. And as I was sitting there last night, I was like, please, Lord, don't let me have to drive to Rockingham like Chris did, because I'm really tired, and I don't want to drive to Rockingham. So anyway, I sat there and pondered, and then I thought, you know, what happened at ladies, and what do you think you need to touch on, Athena? And there was so much. I think a big thing for me was actually when we did the session for Tracy. Like, I have to admit, I rocked up, and my husband was like, you're going to be doing hair and nails, and I was just like, all of that, I was like, yuck. That's just not me, and they won't be doing that. And we turned up, and there they were doing here. And I was just like, oh, my Lord, what have I come to? So I sat there kind of watching, thinking, please don't touch my hair. And they didn't. So look, there was a prayer answered right there. So anyway, it came time, and again, I'm another one that I like agendas as well. So people were like, what are we doing? I'm like, I don't know. So I just kind of sat back and relaxed and actually just spent some time with the Lord and actually in fellowship with others, people that I've never spoken to before, and really enjoyed it. There were times where I suppose I retreated a little bit because in all honesty, I was quite nervous about Tracy giving me a word. As much as I wanted to hear it, I didn't want to hear it. And so when she actually arrived, I remember sitting there and she talked about moving mountains to us. And then I could tell that it was about the time that she's going to start to get people up. So I closed my eyes. And I thought, if I don't look at her, then she can't get me. Yeah. And so I sat there with eyes closed. And one by one, I think there were about half a dozen people before me. And then I kind of opened one eye and she went, you. And I went, okay. So I made my way up. And I have to admit, it was very much like she touched my hands and instantly I started to sweat. And I thought, what's going on? Yeah. And then I looked at her and I didn't actually see Tracy. It was like looking at Jesus. Yeah. And then she started to speak, and my word, the words that came out of her mouth were absolutely amazing. She spoke about generational stuff for me. And that has been a huge part, I suppose, of my life, that generational stuff. So a little bit of a history is that I don't think anyone in the room, I don't even know if Hayley realises this, but the name Bishop, so our surname is Bishop. It wasn't Bishop. Back in the day, where our real surname is actually Kapukai, but we got renamed Bishop because our family were white witches. And that was on Dad's side. And on Mum's side, we come from a line of chieftainesses. And so that generational stuff has been absolutely huge. And growing up, part of, I suppose, and I'm going to use the word, the burden that was put on my shoulders, was that in our community, they all went, you know what your bloodline says, doesn't it? You're a white witch and a chieftainess. You need to carry that. And so carrying that was about being a leader. And one of the things that Tracy said was, you've had the weight of the world on your shoulders. And I was just like, yeah, I have. And it's been tough. And then she spoke about my family. And another big one for me is about prayer. So we grew up as Anglicans. And so when you turned up to church, they gave you a card, and that's how you prayed. You read off the card. And so coming into a church like this, it's like, where's the cards? I don't know what I'm doing. What do you mean I have to make up my own words that I talk to God about? That's just crazy. So that's been a huge learning for me, is to actually have a conversation with the Lord. And so I did actually do foundations, the prayer foundations, which was very, very, very helpful, because it gave me, I suppose, that foundation of how I have the conversation. So it gave me, I suppose, a better understanding of what to say. But I've always been like, am I doing this right? Oh gosh, I'm a little bit nervous, especially praying in front of other people. It's just like, oh my God, you're going to judge me because I've got it wrong. And a big part for me was just on that, the prayer side of things, is that one of the very first things she said is, the Lord's heard your prayers. And I'm like, yes, I must have been doing it right. Yeah? A little bit naive. It's like, yeah, there's no right or wrong. Yeah, just have the conversation. So that was a huge learning for me. It was about having that conversation. They prayed for me, Trisha, actually. They broke off those generational ties. Again, being a practical type of person, I'm like, how do we know that they've been broken? And saying that, I got that answer. So I was like, Lord, could you give me a sign that they've been broken? And so anyone that's been into my house, when you go and walk in the front door, I've got a whole lot of pictures, picture frames by my front door. And one is this big Māori picture that Ruiha made for me. And then there are a few other pictures just in plain frames. And then there are Kiwi frames. And so we got those as a gift, and they've got like Māori emblems and all that sort of thing over them. Well, anyway, I walked in from work on Wednesday, and I looked and I went, what happened to my picture, the big picture? Oh, I don't know, the kids said, I don't know. It was like a gust of wind came through the house, and all your pictures got wiped out. And I went, really? They said, yeah. And so I walked around to the front of the house, and all the pictures that were in the plain frames were perfect. All the ones in the Kiwi frames smashed to smithereens. Thank you, Lord, for the sign. I'm guessing the generational stuff has been broken. No, I'm not guessing. I know it has. So there was that side of things. Another part for me was actually, I suppose, just rehearing words that I've heard, I suppose, right from when I first walked in the door and I gave my heart to the Lord. Some of that was, reiterated during my word. A lot of what Karen has said to me over the past, 5 years, that has been reiterated. And it was amazing to hear. At the same time, a huge one for me was actually around, I suppose, I don't have to carry the world on my shoulders anymore. And it was actually, I had like this tunnel moment where all four, I just gave away my age, 40 years of my life just came flying at me, where she actually went, "You've met Jesus. And you've been in the throne room with him. You've been to heaven." And I kind of went, "What?" And she said, "You went to heaven with Jesus. It was a dream. You think it was a dream. That's how you remember it." And I actually remember. So I don't remember a lot from being younger. If anyone's seen the movie Once We're Warriors, that's how we grew up. So I choose not to remember a lot. Well, I always thought I chose not to remember a lot of that stuff. And there's also a whole lot of other stuff that has happened that I think I've gone selective memory. Don't think about it. We don't remember that. But I remember this one dream. Well, I thought it was a dream, but at the same time, I thought it was real life. So I've never been able to work out, was that real or was it a dream, or I don't know. But the reason that I suppose I was like, is it a dream, was because I remember standing there watching some sheep being slaughtered. And I was like, what's going on? But at the same time, I remember seeing my dad, there with the sheep as they were being slaughtered. And I'm thinking, my dad wouldn't do that to sheep in front of me. What's going on? But at the same time, I remember someone coming up and grabbing my hand and saying, "Come on, you'll be okay. I need to give you instructions. Come with me." But the reason that I suppose I got so confused by that was because it felt like it was my dad holding my hand and that came to get me and take me away. So I went, "But Dad's over there slaughtering sheep, and you're with me here. How can my dad be in two places?" I've worked out that that wasn't my dad holding my hand. That was my father, my Lord, holding my hand. And at the time, there was actually some really traumatic stuff happening in my life. And the instructions that I got, when you're 7 or 8, the instructions were that some stuff was going to happen, some bad stuff, but he was always going to be there for me, and he needed me to remember that. Yeah. So 40 years on, the word that I got, she said, "Look, you keep thinking, you know, what's going on, Lord? And I want to walk away, but you don't walk away." And I always go back to my vision or what that was and think, yeah, I still can't understand that, but no, I'm not supposed to walk away. Yes, I've carried the world on my shoulders, but I don't need to do that anymore. The generational stuff, we've cut that off. That's gone. And she spoke about the fact that once I'd cut the generational stuff, that was what was holding back my blessings. And so by cutting it off, those blessings are going to come. And then Hayley and I sat there and giggled because she actually explained you're looking for a job, you're going for jobs, you think that the interview goes really well and then you don't get the job. And during that process, I actually am going through the interview process for a job at the moment, and Hayley and I just did the game, you know, there's no way you can explain that. I've not spoken to you, Tracy. You have no idea. And like I said, it wasn't Tracy standing there holding my hand. Yeah, so all praise to the Lord. I thank him for, I suppose, putting me there, for cutting everything off, for even when I seem blinded to what he's doing around me, he does things like wipe out all my picture frames at my front door. And for anyone, I suppose, in the future, if you get an opportunity and you don't feel like you should be there, do you know what? Turn up, because there's some amazing women in the group. There's some amazing people in the church. Yeah, and just the amount of love and kinship and fellowship there was just absolutely amazing. And for me, it's really, I suppose, brought the last 40 years home, and I now realise, I suppose, what I'm doing on earth and that I do have a purpose. Yeah.
Wow. Crazy, hey? sort of always blows me away. I always say it, but he does. And even with generosity, do you know, with God moving so powerfully through the camp, and prior to going to the camp, I just messaged the ladies who were going just to say, can you just ask God if you'd like to bring a love offering for Tracy in her time? There was no figure, if you couldn't afford to, or whatever it was just whatever you feel led to. And with Tracy ministering to us, she was extremely blessed financially. And it's the generosity of our amazing ladies. Do you know, they gave with a cheerful and joyful heart. And at one point, Lucy and I counted, and I went, oh, we're going to have to put a little bit more in the pot into her account, I think. And then all of a sudden, didn't it? It was coming out of the woodwork. Oh, my goodness, people were passing notes. And then we were recounting it and then giving it to her. And I'd asked Tracy for her card. And then I said, I gave her card back and said, I don't need it now because the ladies have really abundantly blessed you. So that's the generosity. And just seeing how so many of us are devoting ourselves to building friendships and relationships with each other and with our Heavenly Father. Do you know, I've heard, so the weekend is kind of like an extension of what ladies is on the Thursday night. And it is fellowship. And even though there's no such teaching as such, we have each other's wisdom, but we always go back to his word and what he says. And I really do. I've just watching God's plan unfold in the ladies' ministry just blows me away. Now, I'm here, and I know I keep saying ladies because I'm not part of the men's ministry, but it would go for the same thing. And I do sound like a stuck record, and I've said that a few times today, but we're all being kinder to each other. I've seen the dynamics of church relationships and friendships change. People who used to moan about each other are going out for coffees together. They're showing compassion to each other. Do you know, they're allowing others to love them, and they are loving in return. And they're allowing themselves to be vulnerable in front of each other. Something when we don't always like to be vulnerable in front of God. But we're allowing ourselves to be vulnerable in front of our family members and knowing that they've got us and that they love us. It takes us to a whole new level, a whole new deeper sense of how much God loves us and what he wants for us. It's incredible. It's having the love of Christ. Do you know, having the love of Christ inside our hearts, allowing our hearts to be filled with that, it allows the men to be leaders and the head of our homes and to lead their family well. It allows ladies to be able in their parenting role. It allows us to be the hearts of our family. And for the children, we say that it's the next generation. For their hearts to be filled with our Heavenly Father, they're the next generation. So imagine what they're going to be taking into their children and their children's children. Having a Christ-like love and pouring that out into each other and to keep going back to our Heavenly Father is unstoppable. It's really being a kingdom community. Allowing ourselves to be part of that community, a kingdom community, so we can just